Lawrence, that? Okay.
Lawrence?
Yes, sir.
Dead.
Okay, can I go? Okay.
That's what you want to speak.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yes, go ahead.
Dr.
I'm
Wenger?
Sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to let the chair know, this is Tracy. I was able to join the call very late.
Oh, hi, Tracy.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Looks like you're still meeting. Yeah, the personnel committee meeting is over, so I just wanted to let George know I was here. I'm sorry, Lawrence.
No, it's okay. Thank you, Tracy. Dr. Wenger, I'm a respectfully not support your motion, and I hope you don't hold that against me. I don't think you will, because I think that there's a strong possibility, along with the recommendations from the working group, that there'll be some checks and balances in place where, and a structure in place where, the processes will be more collaborative with the LSB as well as the listeners. So, Dr. Wenger, that's why I'm not going to support your amendment.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak? Okay, so the motion, original motion on the floor was the first part of the bylaws working group, which is a suggested
amendment. Not the bylaws,
amendment.
Not the bylaws.
I'm sorry,
the
working group, the program council working group, the first part of which comes from the Pacifica bylaws. With regard to proactively seeing to it that women, people of color, Spanish-speaking, Latinos, LGBT people, and people under 25 are included on the program council. John Wenger's substitute motion is to eliminate from the program council any paid staff. So this, if the substitute motion passes, it replaces the previous motion. And the way it goes is you take a vote first on the substitute, and then you vote on whatever's left. So,
George, this is Lydia.
Yes.
Just one more question. So just to be perfectly clear, so this is not an amendment. It's a substitute motion?
It was presented as a substitute, yes.
Oh, okay. Then I have to vote now. Okay.
Okay. So let me bring up the list, and I'll call the roll. Just a moment. Hang on a second. It'll take me a minute to bring the list up.
Just to clarify, we're voting now on the substitute rather than the amendment.
That's correct. We're voting on the substitute, and I am ready to call. Oh God! Just a moment. Okay.
You need a hard copy of that list.
It's here somewhere on the computer, but I can't find it at the moment.
John Computers?
Yes. Oh, God, I keep coming up with the KPFT one. I can't seem to find the... it must be in the other place. Here we are. Okay, so we're voting on the substitute motion. If it passes, it replaces the main motion, which was the report back from the first part of the report back from the working group with respect to seeing to it that diversity was honored in the selection. Sharam Agamir. Yes?
Point of order, George. So a yes, no would support the substitute, and a no vote does not, right?
A yes vote supports the substitute, and a no vote does not. That's correct. Okay, Sharam Agamir. Lydia Brazan.
No.
Mal Bernstein.
No.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
No.
Nancy Henschel. Bob Lederer.
No.
Pat Logan.
No.
Tony Norman.
Abstain.
Lawrence Reyes.
No.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Abstain.
Manisha Saba. Dina Pollard-Sachs. John Wenger.
Yes.
Jane Zara.
No.
Okay, so the motion fails 7-1, 2 abstentions. What's next is the vote on the first part of the motion coming back from the working group, which, Bob, would you read it again?
Sure. Well, actually, the very first thing is a totally minor correction of a wording error, so that should be hopefully without objection. The composition of, it now reads, the committee shall consist of blah, 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 and it really should say the composition of the program council. So maybe you could add if there's any objection to that, you know.
Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, that's how it will go forward.
Okay.
That's just changing the words, Bob.
Just the words, yeah, just to correct a wording error.
Oh, sure. Change
the word. So now it'll read, or, you know, basically what the original PNB motion did read, with just a minor correction. The composition of the program council shall consist of one-third staff selected by STB election, one-third members of the LSB, also selected by an STB election, and one-third listeners approved jointly by the LSB and the program director by a procedure satisfactory to both. Now, the amendment that the working group is recommending is the following two sentences. As per Article 7, Section 3J and 3L of the Pacifica Bylaws, which are LSB powers and duties, and Article 8, Section 4, which are committees of inclusion, LSBs and program directors shall work to ensure inclusion of underrepresented communities in electing or choosing council members, at least including women, people of color, Spanish-speaking Latinos and / Latinas, LGBT people, and people under 25. This can include the use of staggered elections, i.e. holding a staff election first, and set-aside seats as deemed necessary by the LSB and program director. And then back to the original text that the PNB passed, term shall be for the maximum of 2 years, or for an LSB member, the term on the LSB, whichever is less. That's it.
Okay.
So the amendment is the two new sentences in the middle.
So a yes vote approves the amendment, a no vote strikes it. Let me begin again. Just a moment. Okay. Sharam Agamir. Lydia Brazan.
Yes.
Mal Bernstein.
Abstain.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes.
Nancy Henschel. Bob Lederer.
Yes.
Pat Logan.
Abstain.
Tony Norman.
Abstain.
Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Well, I missed a lot of the conversation, so this is hard, but based on what I've heard, I'm going to vote no.
Manisha Saba.
With some trepidation.
Dina Pollard-Sachs. John Wenger.
No.
Jane Zara.
Yes.
Okay. The motion, the amendment passes, well, the the
5-2.
The amendment passes 5-2, and we will now move on to the second part of the recommendation from the working group, which is, Bob, would you read it?
Sure. So after the language that I just finished reading about the composition of the council, then we would propose adding a new sentence that reads, however, notwithstanding the preceding, at stations where there are pre-existing agreements between staff and management as to program council composition, those shall be observed with the addition of at least one-third of the members, if not already present, being listeners elected by the LSB. That's it.
Did you want to speak for it?
Sure, I did earlier, but I'll recap briefly. There are, to my knowledge, and folks can correct me if there are more than two stations that have some variant of a pre-existing agreement between staff and management about program councils. KPFA, where the folks on this call from that station can address what, you know, what structure it is and what they think of it. And then at WBAI, there was such a structure for about 25 years pursuant to two successive agreements with originally paid and unpaid combined in a union and management, and then later unpaid staff and management, until 4 years ago when the management brought in at that time just said they're not going to follow that agreement anymore. But in any case, many of us still consider that to be still in effect because there's a contract and it's never been abrogated. So it would say in those stations that fall under that category that that should be that the agreements between the unpaid staff and management should be respected, and that input provided in the way that it's provided, but that absolutely listeners but must be brought in a substantial number to such councils. And so when it says at least a third, it doesn't cap it at a third. That would be, you know, that would be worked out locally. So that's the rationale.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone want to speak to this?
Pat. Yeah, I would like to speak against this part of the amendment because I think that, first of all, there is no current agreement at WBAI about a program council. And previously, I mean, something kept being sort of in place just by default, but the fact was that it became there became a situation at WBAI where there was not really an unpaid staff union representing all staff. There was, you know, a body representing one group of staff claiming to be representing all staff, and so I don't think we should consider the reasons for this as being valid. I can't speak to the situation at KPFA, but I'm going to vote against this.
Anyone else want to speak?
Yeah,
I will.
Tracy? And then Lawrence? Tracy. Is that Lawrence?
Yeah, all right, that's fine.
Okay.
All right, it just sounded like somebody should speak to the situation at KPFA, and we do have a management recognized unpaid staff organization. It does have bylaws that dictates a certain amount of representation on any program council. So while I hear you, Pat, my preference would certainly be for my own station that those bylaws be honored. I think otherwise it will be a difficult situation, and I'm not clear where management is on that at this point. So I would like to encourage them. I feel kind of badly that there's, you know, individual situations at individual stations that clearly make national policy somewhat problematic. So I don't know quite how to resolve that, but that's the situation at KPFA. And for my own station, I think this item would be beneficial and appropriate.
Anyone else want to speak to this?
Yeah, I do. Lawrence,
Can I go?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'd like to associate myself with Tracy's comments just there. KPFK has no mechanism and or no process in place where our stakeholders, which are our listeners, could really have a say and turns adding a dimension to, you know, what's being air on the air. And so this is why, you know, I'm support this motion. I don't understand how somebody could speak against this from WBAI, since the whole staff was laid off, and you know their programming has been imposed on them from other stations. So, you know, it seems like there's an infomercial. I was listening on the website. It just seems like without the volunteer programmers there, that you know, there's hardly any local programming from what I hear. And so, you know, I don't know how anybody could speak against a motion like this. So I completely support it, and I associate myself with Ms. Rosenberg's comments and Mr. Lederer's comments as well.
To be clear, the only stations which this would apply to are where there is, in fact, a pre-existing agreement, which I guess is recognized by management as such. Or I'm not quite sure how one would decide whether there was such an agreement. But
just add to that, George, real quick. APFK, there was a program council that was elected to the portfolio some years ago, and it was never respected. So to a degree, there is an existing agreement at KPFK. It just has never been respected or observed. So that's why I'm supporting this motion.
I see. Okay.
Can we get on the stack?
Point of information.
Point of information first, and then Jane?
Well, the point of information is that I agree with Lawrence. I recall we had a programming, we had an elected programming council, and it seems like management has disrespected it. So how come the working group is including the existing programming council efforts at two other stations, but not at our own station, KPFK? I mean, if this is a good idea at those stations, it's a good idea at our station, too. So what's going on? That's my question.
Can I answer
Well,
that?
As I understand it, I'll let Bob speak to it, but if in fact you do have a pre-existing agreement at KPFK, then this motion would say that that is to be observed, that shall be observed, with the addition of at least one-third of members, if not already present, being listeners elected by the LSB. So it would seem to apply, if Lawrence is correct, that there is such an agreement, it would seem to apply at KPFK. Bob?
Okay. That answers my question. Would you add me to the stack for later on, please?
I think, George, you said it pretty well, that I preface my comments by saying, to my knowledge, there's only such structures with pre-existing agreements at BAI and KPFA, but anyone else should chime in if there is another one.
We got one.
Let's see. I thought I heard Jane.
Yeah.
Earlier.
Okay. I'm on the stack. Can you hear me?
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say, whether it affects my station, PSW, or any other station, I don't see any reason not to support it, and I echo Lawrence's comments. I mean, anything that could expand democracy, you know, and hold management accountable to the public is something that's worthy of support, whether it affects one station. It could affect your station now, my station tomorrow, you know. Who knows what's going on? So I support this.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak to it?
Yeah, I was in the queue.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, well, this reason answers the previous question. I guess it was Jane. Basically, this is a theoretical thing having to do with the structure of governance. Whenever you – the answer in a phrase is majority amplification. That's the issue. The issue is the amplification of the majority. Whenever you have an elected body, such as an LSB, elect more people to another board or committee, whatever, such as, for example, the PNB, or now to this programming council, what happens is the majority on the LSB elects people to these, elects representatives to this other board, and the size of the majority gets amplified. So if you have 51% of the votes on the LSB, you're going to get way more than 51% of the people on the programming council, or indeed on the PNB. With 51% of the people on the LSB, you get 3 out of 4 votes on the PNB. And similarly, you're going to get 10 out of 6 out of 10. You're going to get two-thirds of the people on the programming council. So it's just wrong to have majorities amplify themselves through sequential elections. Far better to have a direct, have the listeners vote directly through some open way that doesn't cost anything, like an open vote on the web with identities known, and let the listeners vote them directly. That's the reason why we should oppose this motion, because it amplifies the size of the majority at each of the LSBs with regard to the programming. I hope that's clear, but it may not be, because it's kind of a subtle issue.
What motion are you talking about? What's on the floor is the motion that Barb read just a moment ago about prior procedures at various LSBs taking precedence.
Right, and it adds to that the fact that the LSBs will elect no fewer than one-third of the people on these programming councils. And since the LSBs are going to do this, they're going to amplify the majority on each of the LSBs, will amplify its influence by voting for these people on the programming council.
Okay.
And that's the moral.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak to this?
Bob?
Anybody who hasn't spoken? Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, just one small point that Pat Logan had made earlier about the nature of the union at WBAI, the unpaid staff union. I just don't think that's an accurate characterization, that where she said it was just representing a small group, et cetera. That union, until management essentially crushed it 4 years ago, had totally open elections. Any unpaid staff person who met the bylaws requirements or the union's very similar requirements of X number of hours a month of work at the station was always invited to and had the right to vote, to nominate candidates. Meetings were always open. So that's another conversation for another day as to what happened with that union. But I just want to correct the record on the nature of that union. It was a union like many others that at least represented the people, offered the opportunity for representation of the people, in the constituency. That's it.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak? Okay, hearing none, then we'll take a vote on this second part of the working group's recommendation. A yes vote approves it, a no vote doesn't. And let me bring up my list again. Take me a moment to bring it back up again. Well, maybe not. Okay, we got it. So, yes is to approve, no is to turn down the working group's suggestion. Sharam Agamir.
I'll pass.
Okay. Lydia Brazan.
Yes.
Mal Bernstein.
Yes.
Vanessa Dixon.
Yes.
Nancy Henschel, Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Pat Logan?
No.
Tony Norman?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Go in and vote yes.
Manasia Saba? Dina Pollard-Sachs? John Wenger?
I'm going to abstain.
And Jane Zara?
Yes.
How do you vote?
Yes.
Sharam?
I'm abstaining.
Okay. So it passes 8-1 with 2 abstentions. This will be forwarded to the PNB as a recommendation from the governance committee to amend the motion that they've already passed. And I will do that. The next item was the elections. I had wanted to hear what's happening. What happened to our motions that were sent forth? And so this is basically a request for information to the PNB members who are on the call, and we can go from there as to what action we might want to take. Would anyone like to respond to the request for information?
Sure. I can jump into the breach if you want, George.
Yes, I would. Appreciate it.
Okay. The PNB had a committee brought forth independently by a member of the committee, and that motion called for a postponement of the election to the regular bylaws schedule in 2014. So it would start with the hiring of an NES March 1st and the sending of ballots August 15th, and that whole cycle that's laid out in the bylaws. With the concept that the 2013 election would be held in 2014, and then the elections would proceed on schedule after that, with individuals who would have been running in 2013 for 3-year terms to run in 2014 for 2-year terms, and then for elections to happen in 2015 and 2016. So we would not lose the staggered cycle indefinitely. And that motion passed the PNB. It was a vote of 12-6. It was a couple weeks ago. I don't remember the exact date. And so that is what's going to happen going forward.
Okay.
And this is Lydia.
Lydia, go ahead.
Yes. And so, of course, there were efforts on the part of members of the Election Committee and the Governance Committee, both of whom had similar motions with regard to having the elections per the bylaws and however modified and per California Corp. And the board majority would not allow that to come to be voted on the agenda or even to be moved up. This is prior to the board secretary bringing forward this other motion. So that is the state of affairs. So in my opinion, I think it's a misnomer to refer to this as a postponement. I'd love to postpone my birthday this year to next year, pretend this year didn't happen, but you can't do that. So if they're going to happen in 2014, then they're no longer the 2013 elections. And so in essence, the elections are canceled.
Well, this is Tracy. Just to make a correction, there were no election scheduled in 2014. So we have, in fact, created a substitute election in 2014.
Okay. I have the information I need. Anybody else want to ask about this or speak about this?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I'd like to ask. So go ahead, John.
Yeah. My issue is term limits. The issues are, I mean, presumably the idea of having listener governance with listener participation is so that the LSV members can at least nominally represent those listeners. And by
sorry.
The situation is that, at least in our station, we're way, way, way down the list of alternates. We're now into the bottom third or bottom quarter, bottom fifth of the people who elected, who ran. So let's suppose we had, I don't know, 36 candidates, and we're now down into the, I think Lydia knows the numbers. We're way down there. So if we, the question is, what happens at the end of this year? In December, half the board will term out, and then they'll go away, and they'll be replaced by candidates that were less preferred than the ones who preceded them. And this is, in some sense, an attack on the quality of governance. One can make the point that governance has failed in Pacifica, democracy has failed, and therefore we should abolish democracy. And so we say, oh, no, it's still continuing. We're just going to postpone the elections, and we're going to invoke term limits. So you get to see how democracy works when you have the least preferred candidates run the show. And I think it's just wrong, and it attacks the quality of governance such as it is. And it would be better if we're going to ignore the bylaw. The bylaw we're ignoring is the schedule of the elections. And so now we're going to insist that because we can follow the bylaw of term limits, we're going to follow it, even though it's an attack on the quality of governance by putting in those candidates who are least preferred. I think that if we're going to postpone the elections, and we don't have the money to pay for them, so it's logical to postpone the elections. But I think we should also suspend the application of the term limits for as long as the elections are deferred. We may not have the money next year either, and then the other half of the board will be termed out. And I remind you that the list of alternates is only the people from the most recent elections, not the first election. They get to be their alternates for 1 year, and then the second election comes along, and they become the set of replacements for the entire board. So if we don't have money next year, we'll term out, and we really will get down to the point where we might not even have enough people to replace them. So the foolhardy application of term limits is what I argue against, and I think that governance should take a stand on this issue and say that we should postpone the application of the term limit bylaw as long as the elections are being postponed. They should go in parallel.
Can I address that, George? I would like to, because there's a couple things in there that I don't think are quite right.
Lawrence was on the stack.
Okay, if you could put me on the stack after.
Sorry, Tracy, I really wanted to, you know, question you as well, because I believe you on the prevailing side. Is that correct?
Yes, I voted on the prevailing side.
Okay, and I gather that Lydia was in the minority. Lydia?
I think she made that clear, yeah.
Okay, all right. So I'm wondering if you could, since you were on the prevailing side, it sounded like you blocked, your prevailing side blocked some items from going on the agenda in order to push through this motion. So I'd like you to answer to that. And then I also like you to answer to the rationale in doing that. And then I'd like to ask Lydia if she could also chime in terms of why wasn't there a minority report reported out from that that meeting that happened, I think it happened 3 weeks ago.
Okay, I can address some of that
go ahead.
All right. Starting with John Wenger's point. The situation in Los Angeles is a bit more acute at some of the other stations for the simple reason that Los Angeles didn't make quorum in the last election. So they went through a process of replacing runners-up already, and now they're having to do it for a second consecutive year. I understand that, but the postponing of
the election in 2013 didn't cause the problem that they had in 2012 with not making quorum. I want to be clear, the only term limit that we're talking about is people who have been on the board for 6 years consecutively. Individuals who would have run for a second term or could have run for a second term in 2013 will stay in their seats, if they wish, until 2014 and then run at that point for two-year continuation terms. But they will continue serving. So there is no way that half your board is terming out. Probably there are two or three people who are in the last year of their second term this year, but those are the only people that are impacted by term limits. It is people who will have been on the board consecutively from 2007 to 2013. Those are the only individuals impacted by term limits. On Lawrence's question, okay, let me try to remember. Oh, the agenda. The individual motion put forward by the secretary was put on as a time-sensitive motion. So what happened parliamentarily is that it was put in front of committee motions. There was, I think, an attempt to move up one or more of the committee motions, and the majority of the board voted it down. I think on the simple basis that if the time-sensitive motion passed, then to some degree the motions behind it were moot. And if it didn't pass, then we would move on to the committee motions and consider them. In a sense, when you have competing motions on the same issue and one contradicts the actions of the other, you really only need to take one of them up, because whether it goes forward, one thing happens. If it doesn't go forward, then obviously something else happens. So the question is sort of which motion could we discuss wasn't really germane. It was, are we or are we not going to schedule an election for 2013 and try to find the money somewhere? That was really the essential question. The other part of Lawrence's question was about a report out. There's no need for a report out. The entire vote happened in open session, so it can be listened to. It was not a closed session item, so there's nothing to report out. And the last item about the minority report, I wouldn't be a part of that because I was not part of the minority on this issue. So I'll have to bag that question. Thanks.
And this is Lydia.
Yes, Lydia.
Yes. So a minority report can only become part of the record if you have the vote of the majority of the board, and that's not going to happen in this circumstance. However, the committee items that were not allowed to be moved up on the agenda happened in the meetings before the two previous meetings. And so it had nothing to do with, once you had this motion, it would render it moot. The board secretary brought this motion one to two meetings, depending on which committee, governance or elections, at the elections timetable on there. And it simply was not allowed by the board majority. Now, maybe they knew this other motion was in the works. I really have no direct knowledge of that. In terms of the one of the violations, and in terms of the timetable, you can't just willy-nilly cancel a whole election or even postpone it, because you're already in violation of having known this last November, and that's per the bylaws, that if you're going to adjust that schedule, you have to notify the membership the previous November. The other issue is that the way, it's not just a staggered election for a staggered election's sake. The years were established by when the cycle started, which was as a result of the board at the time of the 99 suits, around term limits, by the way, about self-electing boards, self-electing themselves. But anyway, so when that cycle started, you can find it in Article 3, Section 5 of the bylaws, and then you can follow the sequence of when the first election was held in 2006 forward, and that's how it starts. So in so many ways, this is in violation of the bylaws, and the Elections Committee has has been working, you know, night and day to try to find economical ways to hold these elections. Of course, the National Board has, in the same meeting, voted to have an in-person meeting in Houston. And there goes part of the chunk of change, but there you go. And so in terms of the minority report, unless you have like a majority vote, you remain minority and you can't have it included much, you know, not even the voice vote recorded about how people vote. So much less okay. Minority report. Thank you.
This is Vanessa to the stack when there's an opportunity.
Good, Vanessa.
Okay, I just wanted to ask both of you, was a notice sent to the stations about this? It was 3 weeks ago, Ball Me Out LSB. I haven't heard a thing about it. It's pretty significant. Was anything sent to the stations? That's just one question.
Okay. George, put me on the stack whenever, and I'll answer whatever question.
So can Tracy, I mean, I have a couple of questions, so can Tracy or Lydia answer now? Is that okay?
I think that's a simple yes or no answer. Tracy, can you give it?
Yes. The motion is posted on the Pacifica.org website, and I was told it was sent to all the LSB chairs. I don't know for a fact. I didn't do it personally. Okay. Since I'm hearing you say that you're not sure about that, Vanessa, I will talk to the board secretary and make sure that he does so.
Okay, so it would have been sent by the board secretary to the LSB chairs?
Yeah, and it was my understanding that that was going to happen, so I don't know whether the problem is it didn't or the board chair didn't pass it on. And, you know, there's no way for me to tell, but I can ask him to send
right.
it, and I will.
Okay, unless I missed something. And then I wanted to ask a question in terms of, okay, so you said the only people that are terming out are the ones that have been on the board for 6 years consecutively. So for the – I'm just kind of over-asking the question just to kind of – doubly make sure that I really, really understand what you're saying and what the implications are. So for those who are elected to one-year terms and those elected to three-year terms, or just basically anybody who hasn't termed out, those terms continue?
Yes. Washington is the only scenario where people have been elected to one-year vis-a-vis three-year terms, so it's a bit more complicated, and I understand that, but yes. Whatever those terms were, if they were due to expire in 2013 and the individual has not served for six consecutive years, then they would continue serving until the postponed election is held. And at that point, they would rerun for a term that would end, or they would choose to step down.
Okay, so for example, our chair, the chair of the LSB in D.C.,
yeah.
I believe it's been said that he is terming out. So he would stay in office until through the end of December and then explain it to me. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's take a hypothetical. I don't know if Eves was elected in 2007 or not. I just don't know. You may know. If he was elected to the board in the 2007 election, and he has served six consecutive years ending in December 2013, then he will step down in December of 2013. If he was elected at any point after that, in 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2020, he can carry over, and then he would be replaced in the 2014 election as he would have been in the 2013 election.
Okay, say it again. I just want to make sure I get this.
He would carry over in his seat. Yes, he would be extended until the election is actually held. The only reason that wouldn't happen is if he has served consecutively since 2007, at which point, because the bylaws are pretty clear on this, nobody serves for more than six consecutive years, he would have to step down in December.
Okay, so extended until, and then so in terms of, say he does have to step down in December, and then so who becomes the chair?
The next runner-up becomes the LSB member holding his seat, and then the LSB itself has...
Whoa, say that again. The next runner-up, what do you mean?
Okay.
Point of order.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just point of order, Mr. Chair. There's an active issue on this that Vanessa is inquiring about, and she's trying to use this information to create. I don't want Tracy to be aware of that, and she's not giving you the facts. So you're answering that something that's not a hypothetical, because
yeah, the question is aware of the situation. She already says that she's aware.
I understand, Tony. That's not a point of order. I'm going to put you on the stack. You can respond to what Vanessa said. Vanessa
George,
was asking.
Can you put me on the stack as well, Lawrence, please?
Lawrence,
all right. Guys, I'm trying to answer in general terms as to what would happen. I can't get into the specifics with specific people. And it is true that Washington, because they have those 3-year and 1-year terms, is a little more complex than some of the other stations where everybody else is on 3 years, everybody. But that said, what I understand would happen is unless the individual has served consecutively since 2007, no breaks, 6 years, then they would step down in December 2013 and their seat on the local station board would be inherited by the person who is the next runner-up on the list of listener candidates from the last election.
We would go to the reserve list to pick someone from there. So in terms of who becomes... Okay, but
that's up to the LSB.
Let me try to answer the question.
No, I can answer it. LSB officer positions are never inherited. Never.
Okay, so it's not a given that the vice chair would step into the chair's position.
Oh, you have another election.
Okay.
For your officers for 2014.
All right.
Start all over again. It cleans out.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Now, we have two more people on the stack. We're actually past time. Do I have
point of information?
Just a moment. Do I have a motion to extend for... I'll take your point of it. What's your point of information?
Well, just this is that it's a two-part question, but this is all motivated by lack of money for this year. Suppose there's lack of money in 2014 and 2015, et cetera. What is the plan? My question is, what is the plan?
I'm going to put you on the stack because this is part of a discussion, and if we're going to have the discussion, we have to extend time. And so,
I'd like to make a motion to extend time for 20 minutes.
For 20 minutes.
Or to we exhaust the agenda, whichever is less.
Is anyone opposed?
Does anyone object to extending time for 20 minutes? Okay, hearing none. Then it's Lawrence, then Tony, then John.
I'd like to thank Tracy and Lydia for being candid. But this whole action makes me feel very uncomfortable in terms of listening to democracy, because listeners, GM should have been reporting this on the report to the listeners. It should be posted on all the websites of each individual station. This should have been very transparent. And it makes me uncomfortable because, first of all, corporation code has been violated, the bylaws have been violated, and if it wasn't the fact that there was a board majority, the prevailing side wouldn't have been able to violate the bylaws and also, violate California corporation code. So, I'm just wondering why, along with this motion, it should have been directed that the listeners be informed so they could actually know what financial state we're in, so they could actually even become more supportive in terms of, how they support our stations. So, this whole process makes me very uncomfortable. I don't feel comfortable with it at all. And, I'm just wondering why the prevailing side, first of all, blocked our motions without it, those motions coming from committees without being time sensitive, and then in addition to that, why didn't they vote to have a minority report out, which I think would have done a lot of justice for everybody, especially our listeners. So, and the chair did forward the motion that was passed by the PNB in regards to canceling the election. See, this is not a postponement. This is a cancellation of the elections. So I think we should just call it that instead of, you know, playing the straw man. You know, we should definitely call it what it is. So, that, you know, I like, you know, the other PNB directors, Tony Norman, Tracy, Lydia, to also answer and see why wasn't this more transparent? Why didn't the motion also instruct the GMs at the station to inform the listeners that the elections have been canceled?
Okay. Tony, you're next.
Yeah, just for just a point of clarification, I think what Tracy was speaking to was if those, during the hypotheticals, if you serve six consecutive terms, then obviously you're can't serve past the sixth term. Now, I think Vanessa was trying to get some controversial issues started on some things here. But
what's the situation?
Well, I'm trying to describe the situation, okay, if I get an opportunity to. But what the situation is, some board members have raised whether or not a board member's term, which according to our last election supervisor, expires before December. These actually would have served. There are several members that would have served 6 years sometime come in October. They would have served 6 years, and whether or not they could serve until the end of December. I'm not going to answer that question, but that's the question that's on the table. So that's ultimately the question that needs to be resolved when their terms expire, whether do they give up their seats in October, which is the actual time their term expires, or do they wait to December? That's the question to be resolved on the 6 year. That's ultimately the question that should be resolved. But in terms of the elections, I think, and I voted in terms of postponement, I did have some reservations about it. But the reason I gave, was concerned about was at the time that we had, did we have the money? And two, how could we put together an election between the time that we were voting on them? We had about 3 or 4 months to the end of the year. And to hire an election supervisor, and what was the practicality of making that happen? And I demanded a timetable that if we did have the election, how were we going to do it? What's the practicality of making it a reality? I was more in favor of having an election if we could, if it was practical. But at the time that because of the way the PNB operates, quite frankly, those motions that you referred to that the Governance Committee and the Elections Committee sent on the elections were in front. But because they debate so much, sometimes they spend an hour to vote on an agenda. So we run out of time, and you never get to the agenda items. And this happened to 2 or 3 meetings. So they never got to those items on the elections on the agenda. Now, who do you blame for that? Whether it was purposeful, I don't know the answer to that. I just know that the time ran out and we never got to those agenda items, which was frustrating to myself. So we never got to the election. So that was my rationale for voting to delay them. And in terms of a minority report, I mean, I think individuals on the board could have recommended a minority report, and I think one should have gone out if that was a motion or recommendation to submit one out. So I personally had mixed feelings on it. I would have preferred to have elections this year, but the way, because of the delay and the way the PNB operate, we never got around to it till around the 11th hour. So the way I saw it, if there was no practical way of having the elections, I don't see how we could practically do it in terms of hiring all of the people that would need it to be done and making it a reality. So that was my rationale for my consideration. But I lean toward having the election if they were practical and if we could afford them.
Okay. John, you're the last one on the stack.
Yeah. Well, I'm going back to the problem of scale. We don't have the money this year, and there's no guarantee we'll have the money next year or the year after that. Meanwhile, if we continue with the plan as stated and enforcing term limits, we will take the last vestiges of semi-working listener-sponsored democracy and just completely run it into the ground. The fact is that if we continue to not have the money, and nobody can say that we will have the money to run the elections next year and the year after that and the year after that, and we continue to apply term limits, soon we will have We'll just basically we'll be terming people off of the board, and there won't be anybody to replace them. And this will happen first at KPFK because management caused us not to get quorum last year. It's a foreseeable train wreck, and we need a plan. And I'm asking, what is the plan? I don't think there is a plan. If there is a plan, I want to hear it. But I don't think there is a plan, and so we need to take steps to prevent this foreseeable train wreck caused by the unreasoning application of one bylaw, because we can't hold the others. The bylaws were intended to work as a working set. To just follow some of the bylaws and not the other is a recipe for disaster. And we're going right at that disaster. It's train wreck coming. So I'm done now. What is the answer?
Vanessa to the stack afterwards at an appropriate time.
Is there anyone else who hasn't spoken yet who would like to speak again? Who would like to speak for the first time? Okay. Hearing none, Vanessa, then Tracy, and we have about 9 minutes.
Okay. And I'm assuming that the person who just spoke, his question will be answered. But my question is, what is the timeline for the 2014 election?
Well, it's I don't know. Tracy, can you answer that?
No, I can't because I wasn't paying attention for a sec. What was it?
The question was, what's the timeline for the 2014 election?
Yes, I can answer that, and I will. Okay. I'm on the stack next.
If you could answer that first and then...
Yeah, then I'll say what I have to say. The timeline for the 2014 elections is exactly what is laid out in the bylaws specifically. It starts with the hiring of an NES on March 1st, which is 120 days from now or so. No, it's 150 days from now. The collections will open June 1, close June 30th. The date of record will be July 2nd. The ballots will be sent August 15th. The ballots will be due back October 1st. The ballots will be counted by October 15th, and the new board members will be seated by December 15th. That's the timeline in the bylaws. The motion indicated that that timeline will be followed at the next election commencing on March 1st, 2014. That's the schedule. Does that answer?
It extends current. Yes, it does. It extends current terms by a year.
Well, yes, but we did this in September, so we were already significantly out of whack. And if we had started in September, the process would easily have continued into February or March of 2014. Anyway, so we were looking at a postponement one way or the other. It was just a question of when to postpone. And it was felt that if we kept it on the same schedule, that would actually cause less disruption than the alternative. But anyway, leaving that aside, that's the schedule. What I want to say is, you know, on the finances issue, there's things that aren't being honestly discussed that need to be honestly discussed. The Elections Committee may have worked very hard to reduce costs, but what they actually did, or the actual result, was the cost increased from $90,000 between the 2010 and the 2012 elections. That was an increase of almost 50%. It was huge. When you're spending $90,000 more from one year to the next year, you really have a process that has fallen off of the train track. And in a scenario where you're financially struggling as it is, where you're looking at the extreme peril of at least one license and possibly two, you really do need to take a step back when you have a process where costs were fundamentally totally uncontrolled and totally spiraling out of control. One of the things that's important is that we get the collection costs back under $200,000 and hopefully considerably less than that. We obviously can. The election in 2010 only cost $160,000, and I think we could even go lower than that if we implement some changes. But spending $251,000 on the election, which, by the way, is the cost of 10 annual meetings, not one, is nuts. And I think there were real reasons not to go hurtling into an election process that is troubled, but to take a step back and try to do something economically and fiscally responsible, because we are not simply bylaws police, we are also fiduciary agents, and to some degree we have to pay some attention to fiscal responsibility. And we have a situation where the elections process, despite everybody's efforts, was really financially out of control. So I think that's an important point to make, and I think it's an important bright side that we can come out of this not spending money like that we don't have, like crazy drunken sailors. So that's part of what I'm hoping to get out of this postponement, and I think it's really important.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak? Okay.
Just a question to clarify. I'm sorry, this is NASA. Just Tracy. Or any PMB member. So you went through the calendar, the election cycle for 2014. So it starts in March with the hiring of the NES, and then it ends in December. And so when are the new LSB? When are the new LSB members seated? Was it December or January?
It's December.
December. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. Point of information.
Yeah.
I ask a question. I haven't heard an answer yet. Does Tracy know the answer to my question?
And me too, Tracy. I didn't hear an answer to my question as well.
Okay, I'm sorry. Why don't you ask them to me again, and I will try to answer them if you want
my answer. My question is what if we don't have the money next year for the election, and the year after that, and the year after that? Are we going to follow the bylaws, the term limits bylaws, and keep what are we going to do? What's the plan?
No, that won't work, John. I mean, it won't. I mean, you have a governance system that requires listener elected and staff elected representatives, and we're going to have to go forward with it. Postponing is not the same as dismantling, and no one is going to dismantle the bylaws structure. There's an amendment process for doing that, but no one has put forward an amendment of that comprehensiveness yet, and I don't think anybody's going to, because the deadline, as far as I know, is in a couple of days. So we are going to go forward with it. The question is whether we're going to bring down the costs substantially, and that, I think, is essentially what we have to do. And there's a couple of ways to do that. One is simply to sort of, you know, rope in whatever the heck went wrong last year. And the second has to do with probably starting to transition to online voting, which should considerably cap the printing and postage payments that we're making, which are huge, because we're mailing 80,000 pieces of paper basically to get not more than 8,000 of them back. You know, 32,000 of them are going on the landfill. And from the point of view of economic scarcity, that just doesn't make sense. And it needs to be rethought. So my hope is that the combination of those two things would bring us to a place where this is a less fiscally suicidal thing to do. Because it really, in 2012, it was, you know, train off the tracks.
All right, Tracy.
Lawrence.
So
okay.
this committee did vote for a bylaws amendment with a timeline. I believe it was submitted by Lydia Brazon.
Yeah.
And this committee almost unanimously voted to have that timeline approved. And we would have gave us time. It would have put us in a crush. But if we could hold an election next year without knowing if we're going to have the money to hold the election next year, I don't see why we couldn't have held one this year. Okay? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And then my other question, Tracy, was in regards to why didn't the prevailing side instruct or encourage that the stations and doing the GM reports to the listeners, mm-hmm. or even posted on the website the action that the prevailing side took at the PMB in regards to the elections?
Okay, so those are your questions. So the first question is about the lack of money. I think the only answer to that is we know we don't have the money now. We don't know what money we're going to have next year. And I think that impacted the decision, was that basically in the short term, because after all, we just laid off 75% of BAI staff, and 3 months ago almost lost the tower, and it's still not guaranteed that we're going to be able to hang on to the tower. The feeling was that, you know, the acuteness of the financial crisis was extreme right now. In the long term, the costs are going to have to come down, and I think time gives you an opportunity to implement that. Rushing and doing something on a rushed, compressed schedule almost never gives you the opportunity to implement cost-saving measures. And we need some help at it because, you know, Lydia is right. The election committee was charged with lowering the costs, and they worked very hard. But the upshot of that work was the costs went up by almost 50%. So something about the process that we were following was wrong, didn't work. So we're going to have to come up with another process to bring the cost down. As for the GMs and the station managers, I mean, I don't know what the answer is there. The PMB passes all kinds of things. And it's not always a question of the GMs and the station managers don't tell people about it. Often they don't even listen to it. So, I mean, it's kind of like an Uber problem that you're talking about. What I can do, as I told Vanessa, is I can ask the board secretary to send the measure out to each GM and each webmaster and each LSB chair and say, please distribute and get the word out about this. Whether they will or not, I don't know the answer.
We are out of time. Unless I hear a motion to extend, the meeting will be adjourned.
Is there any more information to be shared?
Well, no one's on the stack to do it, so I...
Well, this is Lydia. I just want one more update because it was a governance committee. The other item from the governance committee was the bylaws amendment timeline. They also refused to move that up as a time-sensitive item, and now our timeline calls for having something amendments by tomorrow. And then the ED became very interested in passing a bylaws and try to get that done after the fact, but that we ran out of time for that. So anyway, just letting this committee know that both the elections timeline and the bylaws amendment timeline, which, as you know, I was going to bring forward something that would save money on the elections, which was to reduce the quorum from 10% to 5%. But again, the board majority refused to move that up. Thank you.
Okay. Hearing no motion to extend, the meeting is now adjourned. Thank you all again for a very committed meeting.
Hey, good night, everybody.
Good night, all.
Good night.